Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your source for Orioles news and information from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. It's all O's all the time. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Just to tell you a little something about myself, I'm a veteran baseball journalist who spent 8 years as a senior editor at Sporting News. I also host another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book. In that podcast, I talk to authors of baseball books past and present, so please check that out. My most recent episode features Jason Turbo, who wrote the excellent book, The Baseball Codes. You can find that on Apple Podcasts and other places podcasts are available. The most important thing to know about me, though, is that I'm a lifelong Orioles fan, going back to the late 70s when Earl Weaver was the manager, Ken Singleton and Eddie Murray were the big hitters, and Jim Palmer was still in the rotation. Today we're going to be joined by Tyler Young, who is a writer for Camden Chat, and we're going to talk about the Orioles' leadoff options for this year. We'll get to that shortly, but first I just want to remind everybody that we have advertising opportunities. So if you're interested in advertising on Locked On Orioles, please drop me an email at lockedonorioles@gmail.com. But there's also an opportunity to reach a bigger audience. We have an entire Locked On MLB network that includes Yankees, Cubs, Angels, Twins, Pirates, and a bunch of other teams, and eventually we'll be getting to everybody. So again, if you're interested, contact me at lockedonorioles@gmail.com. Also, a reminder that we are now available on Apple Podcasts, so please go subscribe, leave a rating, and leave a review. We've got several very nice reviews so far, and the more of those we get, the bigger the audience will reach. You can also find us on LockedOnOrioles.com, so check that out. Okay, let's get on to our interview with Tyler Young. Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by Tyler Young, who is a writer for Camden Chat. Camden Chat is the Orioles blog that's part of the SB Nation network. If you're not familiar with it, you should check it out. Although I imagine anybody who's listening to this podcast knows about Camden Chat. It's a really great source of Orioles news and information. So you should definitely be checking that out every day, especially during the season. But anyway, Tyler's here to talk about an article that he wrote last week about the Orioles leadoff situation. So Tyler, what I want to ask you just first of all, you know, there's two questions here that I wanted to get to. The first one is, who do you think realistically are the options for leadoff for the Orioles? Who is Buck looking at that you think might actually have a chance of being the regular leadoff hitter this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. The options are kind of limited, and, you know, they've all got big question marks. You know, at FanFest, it seems clear that Tim Beckham seems to be a leader in the clubhouse. And then Colby Rasmus has been leading off occasionally in the spring. I think Chris Davis has led off a couple of times in the spring, which is interesting. I know some people are really all about that, so I think he might be a candidate for it. And then I know Joey Rickard's led off in the past. Trey Mancini's even led off in the past. And those seem to be the big candidates. And there's a couple of younger guys that I think in the future might have a chance, like Chance Sisko or even Cedric Mullins. But I think 2018, the beginning of the 2018 season's a little ahead of them. So those major leaguer guys are the ones I would think to focus on in the spring.
So, I mean, from what we've seen so far, it looks like to me, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that Rasmus and Beckham are probably the two who are most likely. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, that seems pretty accurate. It might be sort of, maybe it's even a platoon type of a thing, not that they play the same position, but it might be a Rasmus versus right-handed pitchers, Beckham versus left-handed pitchers, although I'm not sure their splits really pour that out to anything. But, those seem to be the leaders in the clubhouse. And they both got very similar career batting lines. And, you know, on-base percentage is kind of king anymore, especially in the leadoff spot. And they both got, I think, Rasmus has a 311 career OBP, and Beckham has a career 310 OBP. So they do seem to be the leaders for that leadoff spot so far.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because You point this out in your article, and I think it's you just pointed it out again here. Neither of these guys is a great on base machine. You know, they're not getting on base at an acceptable clip for a leadoff hitter in my mind. So is the a situation here basically that the Orioles just don't have anybody better? Is it that Buck is seeing something we're not seeing? Why do you think these two with these, you know, subpar on base percentages are being considered for this spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you said is right on about there's really a lack of guys with on-base percentage in the whole, you know, at the major league level. I mean, you know, the guys with the better on-base percentages from last year I think Scope was one of the top guys. I think Seth Smith was one of our top people. He's gone. You know, besides that, everybody sort of had a disappointing season. Manny's OBP was even below 310. Not that you want Manny hitting leadoff necessarily. But yeah, it's a total like organizational problem, and it leaves Buck at the top with very limited options because, you know, you want to have your best guys hitting as often as possible, but you also want those at-bats to count as much as possible. So while, you know, 30 home runs from Jonathan Scope in the leadoff spot would be great, 33-run home runs from Jonathan Scope would be better, and you're not going to get those as often in that top spot. So I think it's a lack of options, and Buck is trying to, you know, make the best of a bad situation. But also, if you sort of look back in Buck's history as the Orioles manager, he has a tendency, you know, occasionally to go back on like that old school version of a leadoff hitter. It's like, oh, just put somebody fast up there. He can steal bases. And, you know, anymore, that's really not what a leadoff hitter is meant to do. You know, at moments we've had guys like Nick Markakis, and I think he's probably the best leadoff hitter of the Buck Showalter era, you know, which started right when Brian Roberts started having all of his injury problems. But yeah, it just seems to be there's a lack of options, and Buck is trying to make the best of a pretty bad situation.
Yeah, you mentioned that. It's interesting because Brian Roberts, like you said, is he basically the last sort of, you know, good leadoff hitter that they had, a guy who really, you know, fit that role in a lot of ways, you know, a guy who could get on base and had some speed and would hit some doubles, hit a lot of doubles, actually. So he's a guy who he was a good table setter. And it really is strange to me how they have just in all those years. I mean, it's been, what, you know, 8 years since Brian Roberts was kind of that guy. In all that time, they haven't really developed anybody. While they've developed, you know, other good players around other positions, they just, on base just seems to be an organizational wide issue. And maybe it starts with Adam Jones, as he's been the face of the franchise for so long, and he's never been a good on base guy. It is odd to me, and hopefully that's going to change a little bit. And that's what the other thing I want to talk about is, you mentioned some of these other younger guys who at some point are going to be regulars on the Orioles, if not this year. Chance Sisko, for example, I think you mentioned he had a his minor league on base percentage is something like 390 or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So do you realistically think that they would make a catcher the leadoff hitter? I mean, I know that shouldn't matter, but maybe there's a perception thing there. You don't see catchers leading off very often. Do you think that is a role that maybe he could be in someday?
I see, you know, no reason not to, you know. I mean, roles are always changing anymore. And also, Chance Sisko, it still seems up in the air if he even is going to be a catcher. The defensive thing, I've never seen Chance Sisko play live, so I can't really talk to it too much. But that always seems to be his liability is his defense. Who knows if he'll even be a catcher. But yeah, I think why not, you know, if he's the best on-base guy, give him a shot. I just have some questions as to whether the on-base can translate from the minors to the big leagues as always. I know Matt Wieters is like on-base percentage coming up, or on-base percentage beast coming up through the minors, and then he got to the bigs, and he kind of became what everybody else on the Orioles is. But yeah, I don't think Buck would get too stuck into those types of things. You need somebody to produce. I just think, you know, Buck likes to protect his young guys. Manny started off low in the order scope. I feel like it took him forever to fight up from the seventh and eighth spot in the order. Now he's sitting in the middle of the lineup. So I think it's something we could see, but probably not till later in the summer after, you know, Beckham or Rasmus has totally proven incapable of doing the job. Because Buck, you know, he likes his guys. He likes to lean on those veteran guys, and he'll give them all the chances in the world until they've proven him incorrect.
Yeah, and of course that brings up another question with Rasmus, is that there's not really any guarantee Rasmus is even going to make this team, is there?
No, not at all. I mean, the fact that they've liked him for so long, Buck has seems to, you know, have certain guys in the league he really, really likes. Kashner seems to be one, Rasmus is another. I know they were interested in him a couple years ago, and they finally got him. That makes me think I think he's got a good chance of making the team. But yeah, that's kind of a problem right there. If one of your top options for leadoff hitter is sort of a fringe player as it is, it doesn't bode well or speak well to the rest of your roster. But for some reason, I think Rasmus has a pretty good shot at making this club.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. My gut instinct is that he, you know, unless he completely flops in spring training, that he's going to be on the opening day roster. Now, whether he stays on the team all year long or not, I don't know. But I think he is going to get a shot in April at least. So some other guys you mentioned in the article, some younger guys maybe who at some point might have those skills. One that I'm intrigued with because I think everybody's just intrigued with this guy in general. If you're an Orioles fan, that's Austin Hayes. Does he have the skills to be a leadoff hitter, do you think?
Yeah, I think he's got the skills to do it. Again, I mean, he's not a huge walk machine. I think his minor league average was like 320, and then his on-base percentage was 370. And that's not a huge separation, especially in the minor leagues. I think he's more of a free swinger than you're probably looking for in the leadoff spot. But he's got that old school sort of profile for a leadoff guy. He's quick. He's got that spark plug mentality. And, you know, not that we should really think of that as a leadoff guy, but if you're looking, trying to get inside Buck's mind, I think you might want to look at those characteristics because he's had guys like Nate McLaughlin lead off in the past. And Joey Rickard kind of has a similar profile in that way. And Buck's had him lead off in the past. I think he's got the ability to do that, but long term, I'm hoping as our top, as the Orioles' top hitting prospect, he profiles more as a two or a three hitter, more of a run producer, a home run hitter, than a leadoff guy that you want to see hit a bunch of solo shots all the time. But I think, you know, probably not this year, but maybe next year, easing him into the middle of the lineup a little bit, I could see him at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, and like, you know, you said, you pointed out, you know, like Manny Machado at one point was the leadoff hitter, like before he was put down into, you know, the second, third slot. They had him lead off for a while. They've had Adam Jones lead off. So it's not unlike Buck to, you know, to put one of his top hitters in that slot necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, more and more, I think you're seeing you want your best hitters, if not hitting leadoff, at least hitting second. You want them up there at the top instead of leaving them down third or fourth. And you know, you put them down third or fourth, that's great. They might have a chance to get a bunch of RBIs, but the game's in the line. They might end up in the on-deck circle instead of in the batter's box where you want them. So the farther up the lineup you can get them more opportunities with runners on base, that's the ultimate goal. So if Austin Hayes is better than Colby Rasmus or Tim Beckham, which I think and I hope he eventually will be, I'd like to see him hit and lead off over those other two.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been looking back at the box scores from spring training just to see who all has been hitting leadoff. And obviously we've mentioned Rasmus and Beckham already. You mentioned Chris Davis, I think, has had a game or two at the leadoff spot. I imagine that's basically was trying to get him some swings and maybe see how his elbow is doing before the MRI or something. That's not a realistic possibility, is it?
I mean, I want to say no, but Chris Davis has had so many, you know, he's a mystery. I don't know what to expect from Chris Davis this year, you know, which is crazy for a guy that makes so much money. And his career on base percentage is not something you want at the top of the lineup, but then he also has times where he just walks like crazy. And I think against right-handed pitchers, he's really good. He's got a well above average on base percentage. It's just he's up and down. But I think what you're saying is probably closer to accurate. They want to, like we were saying, you know, the leadoff guy gets the most at-bats, but he's guaranteed to hit sooner and you can get him out of the game sooner if you're trying to look at something. So I wouldn't expect to see Chris Davis hitting leadoff. I think he'll be down more in the 4 or 5 spots where we would expect him to be. But, hey, you never know. Just to get something going. Trey Mancini hit leadoff a couple times last year. He doesn't really... if you're, you know, kind of old school fashion looking at him, he doesn't seem like a leadoff guy. So you never know. We might get to see Chris Davis hit top of the order at some point this season.
I think the common theme here is what you just said. Nobody on this lineup looks like a top of the order kind of guy. And that's the problem. another guy who's gotten some leadoffs at bats in Sarasota is Alex Presley has led off a couple of times at least. Again, here there's a guy, though, I mean, veteran outfielder, who there's not even any guarantee he's going to make the team, and certainly I don't think there's any guarantee if he does that he would be a starter. So that's probably just one of those things that they're trying to get him some at-bats, right?
Yeah, I view him more like a fourth outfielder type. I think he can play center field. He's not a spectacular defender, but he can handle himself. And I think, you know, he's more of a proven major league hitter and has the ability versus a Rickard or a Hayes, they want to see Hayes play at AAA for a little while. And rather than have Hayes sit on the bench while you've got, you know, your older guys starting, you'd rather have Alex Presley sit on the bench. I view him more as a fourth outfielder. I could see him in the Craig Gentry role from last year, and Gentry was in camp too. But Gentry led off a couple times last year, as advisors that might be. But yeah, Presley's got over a season of major league experience hitting leadoff. But I'd rather not see that too often because I'd rather see Adam Jones at the leadoff spot again, or or any of the other guys that are regular starters than Alex Preston. I think he's an okay player. He's fine to have on your bench. He can do a couple of things. But yeah, I wouldn't view him as a solution to the Orioles' leadoff woes.
You mentioned Adam Jones, and of course, you know, he has gotten a lot of, he's let off a lot. I think last year he had a number of games where he let off. Maybe at the end of the day, does he end up being the default choice just because he's a guy you know is going to be in the lineup every day and you kind of know what you're going to get from him with the bat?
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm leaning to. I think he might end up being the choice because he's done it before. He's proven his ability. He's not going to, and honestly, he's kind of thrived in that role at times. I could see that being the solution at the end of the day because, like you said, Rasmus, you know, if he makes the club, he might not be here the whole season. Beckham, you know, if he gets exposed over a full season, he's not going to be August 2017 Tim Beckham all year. I think he's going to prove he's more of a utility guy, more of like a 7-8 hitter or something like that, who will hold his own but isn't really a leadoff guy. I think Adam Jones at the end of the day might be the safest choice, maybe not the most exciting guy, and people are going to get frustrated about him swinging it. Only seeing two pitches in at bat or whatever it is. But I think, you know, when all is said and done, that Adam Jones might be the safest and best pick for what the Orioles currently have available to them.
Yeah, that's kind of how what I'm thinking is that at the end of the day, that's the guy who Buck's going to have the most confidence in of all these other guys we've mentioned. And again, he's the guy you know is going to be in that lineup every day, barring injuries, as opposed to a Rasmus or a Beckham who may be in some sort of more of a utility role. You know, you just don't know exactly what their role is going to be. In the case of Rasmus, you're not even sure he's going to be on the team the whole season. Looking down the lineup a little bit, looking at yesterday's box score, they had Scope second and Machado third. Is that you think that's going to be the regular lineup for most of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I could see them flip-flopping occasionally, depending on who's hot or whatever. I think that's kind of right where you want them. They're your two best hitters, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you want them up there producing runs. But yeah, I think that's right about where I would see them. I know some people have talked about having Manny hit leadoff or Scope hit leadoff. I wouldn't mind seeing that, I guess, but I'd rather see them down just a little bit so they're hitting with runners on base instead of empty bases.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And then, of course, the cleanup hitter, it was Adam Jones yesterday, but again, if he ends up in that leadoff spot, I guess it could be any combination of Davis, Trumbo, you know, whoever is like you said, whoever's hot at a particular time, ends up in that cleanup role if Jones is indeed leading off.
Yeah, I mean, Trumbo, I don't know. Trumbo, I get so frustrated with him. He was so terrible last year. And Davis was bad too. Mancini might be the four hitter, before it's all said and done. I'm hopeful that Chris Davis has a bounce back year. You get that big left-handed bat in there. I could see that happening, unless they go make another move. You know, Mike Moustak is out there. I know people are talking about him. He might sneak in there. He's got some power. But as we've got it, I might like to see Mancini hit cleanup as it stands.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because Davis is such a, you know, I mean, he's born to be a cleanup hitter, but he's just not producing the way that you need him to be that cleanup hitter every day the last couple of years. And you know, with what they're paying him, that's really unfortunate. But yeah, it is what it is. If he's gonna be hitting .220 and striking out all the time, I don't know they necessarily want him in that role.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's not the best way to organize the lineup if you bury him and he starts hitting well, but maybe. He's the kind of guy, if you put him down in the lineup, he can refocus a little bit, take some pressure off, not feel like, oh, I got to be the power hitter, the run producer, and you can bury him a little bit, maybe get his confidence back. But we'll see. We'll see. I think it's a big season for him because, you know, he might end up turning into Albert Pujols or whatever, where you got to kind of hide him a little bit and his deficiencies become more apparent as he gets older. But I'm hopeful Chris Davis will have a bounce back year.
Yeah, and I think the big takeaway from this conversation as I go through it is that the Orioles, other than Machado and Scope, they have a lot of guys who it's not exactly clear what their best, you know, spot in the lineup is, and it's not exactly clear who their best leadoff hitter is, who their best cleanup hitter is, they have kind of a lot of like odd fitting parts, it seems like.
Yeah, and they just kind of keep adding more odd fitting parts to it. They're looking at Mark Reynolds possibly, Neil Walker, like they're just kind of taking any name you've ever heard of, and they're like, yeah, we might be able to fit him in the lineup. I mean, maybe that's – you give Buck the all the ingredients, and he can be the mad scientist and, you know, put them together the way he likes. That might be the best solution. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of the Orioles' MO though. The last couple of years is, you know, throw it, see what sticks, and hopefully it works out. It's not worked out too well last year, or even really the year before when they made the wild card. But yeah, that's just what the Orioles do. It's kind of a mess right now, and there's not really a good way to put it. But you know, you have faith in the manager. If anybody can figure it out, I'm sure Showalter can. And he's got a couple of options, and I'm sure the Orioles will score runs. Scoring runs is probably the smaller part of their problem with the pitching. You know, I have faith Showalter can figure some semblance of a lineup together.
Yeah, well, I just hope that whatever that lineup is, it doesn't include Mark Reynolds, because I think adding Mark Reynolds to a team that already has Trumbo and Davis, I just don't know that really makes a whole lot of sense. But the Orioles seem to love those DH first base types, that's for sure.
I agree. I don't want to see more. I like Mark Reynolds as a guy. He was really fun to have around with the renaissance and the resurgence of the Orioles a couple years ago. But, yeah, I don't want him anywhere near this team right now.
All right. Well, Tyler, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate it.
And if people want to find you on Twitter, where can they find you?
I'm at _TyYoung. And you can also follow Camden Chat. Mark Brown does a great job running that site. It's at Camden Chat on Twitter. And, yeah, we're getting ready to ramp up our season preview stuff, so check it out.
Yeah, definitely check out Camden Chat. It's a great source for all Orioles news and analysis during the year. So.